Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
And now, America's number one show on pop culture and politics. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth, a great nation despite the fact that we are facing some very real fiscal problems. We are. And one of them has to do with a growing and growing and growing and endlessly growing national debt, because we have a deficit that has reached monster proportions. No claims at all that President Biden can make credibly that he has done anything to reduce the deficit or to cut back on the debt, which continues to rise above, what is it, $30 trillion, more than doubling in the last couple of years. It's an appalling situation, and it's led to some Social Security problems, or has it? There was a shouting match about that on MSNBC. And who was shouting at whom? We will get to that in a moment. But first, there's a statement by Steve Scalise, the deputy, the whip for the Republicans in the House of Representatives. He is the number two guy for the Republicans in the House next to Kevin McCarthy. And he said this about the idea of the upcoming necessary rise in the debt ceiling. Listen, clip nine.
If the country is spending more money than we have, and it's trillions of dollars, by the way, and Joe Biden, you saw trillions and trillions of dollars in bills to rack up debt that ultimately somebody's going to have to pay. There is no free lunch. And so if we're about to max out the credit card, then before we hit that limit, shouldn't we have an honest conversation about how to start living within our means, how to make sure we're not spending money that we don't have before that comes up? And when that comes up, at the same time you're dealing with the debt limit, you ought to also put in mechanisms in place so that you don't keep maxing it out. Because if the limit gets raised, you don't go to the store the next day and just max it out again.
Okay, that's entirely reasonable, and that's as good an explanation of a Republican position as I've heard, is that clearly you need to have some discussion about a path back to fiscal sanity. But once that discussion is had, you can't threaten to throw the United States into default. It's just, it's never happened. It's incredibly bad for the country. And the last time that they were doing this, it was, again, the only time ever, this was under the Obama administration, that you actually had the credit worthiness of the United States of America downgraded because there was so much debate about raising the debt limit. But if we could try to echo the line of Steve Scalise, which is very positive, that he just delivered, it seems to me that is precisely the way to explain it. And another member of the Republican caucus who did well on TV was Byron Donalds, the congressman from Florida, and for some of those ballots, the 15 ballots that ultimately elected Kevin McCarthy as speaker, Byron Donalds was a leading vote getter. He got as many as 20 votes. 19 votes, others to be the new speaker. He ended up supporting McCarthy. He actually began supporting McCarthy. On the first two ballots, Byron Donalds favored him. But he agreed to go on the Joy Reid show. She had basically denigrated Congressman Donalds beforehand as some kind of a token because he is black and he doesn't have the same politics that Joy Reid would approve of. And what you'll hear is him appearing on MSNBC with Joy Reid and basically watching her explode over Byron Donalds saying something that is emphatically true, which is that Social Security is on a path to insolvency. Listen, clip 12.
My friend Jody Arrington, who's going to chair budget, he wants to look into the budget and also look into entitlements. Do you know that Social Security is going to be insolvent in 2035?
It is not going to be. That is not true. That is actually not true. No, it's actually not true.
Now, Joy,
it's actually not true. It's actually not true.
Financial community.
That's actually not true. That's actually not true.
Will go insolvent.
That's actually not true.
Those are the facts.
That's not true.
Should we not prepare for that?
What the Republican Party and what the Tea Party have proposed is privatizing Social Security, which would actually subject Social Security to the whims of the market, which I don't think that people, that's not what they pay attention to.
If you look at the returns of the S&P 500 since 2006, the returns of the S&P 500 since 2006,
you're saying, so you support privatizing Social Security?
No, I want to explain to you. I am a financial professional. I'm securities licensed. Actually, I just lost my licenses because I'm not allowed to trade anymore because I'm a member of Congress. Mm-hmm. But let me assure you, if you look at the S&P 500 from 2006 until today, the growth rate in the S&P 500 would have more than taken care of Social Security, way more than the federal government.
And each time that you had a crash, it would subject people's Social Security funds to crash. Hold on a second. We're not going to have a whole long thing on Social Security.
Okay, it's not true. It's not true. It's not true. I think that what Byron Donalds showed is that he's somebody to keep your eye on. There was another topic that came up where basically Joy Reid had very little to offer other than basically saying, it's not true, it's not true, it's not true, it's not true. This topic was critical race theory. Listen.
You've defended and actually have co-sponsored two pieces of legislation opposing critical race theory. What is critical race theory in your view?
Oh, critical race theory actually comes from critical theory. And essentially what it does at the graduate level, it talks about the implications of racial policies in the past in American history, their impact on society today.
The impact on what?
Hold on. The issue with critical race theory, if you distill it down into K-12 education, is you do not have the ability to have the detailed conversation of critical race theory at the graduate level. And so here's my question. If it seeps down into K-12 education, is it stuff that students are not prepared to be dealing with? Shouldn't students just be learning about reading, writing, and arithmetic?
And so you don't believe that students should be learning about the racial history of the country? Because critical race theory is not taught. Critical race theory is not taught in a single K-12 school. One moment. It's a legal theory that's taught in law schools. Okay, we're going to have to come back and continue this conversation. We're actually literally out of time. I told him you have to go.
Again, is that, I mean, look, I understand people do run out of time, but it's encouraging to hear, Byron Donalds actually standing up and, being such, an effective spokesman for a, conservative and a Republican point of view. And, again, he, showed, some chops there, it seemed to me, in contesting what was going on with Joy Reid. Okay, we also had last night the Golden Globe Awards, and some of this is actually funny. Some of it is kind of pathetic. The big winner was the winner for the because they divide movies into the best drama and to the best comedy and musical. And so the big winner for best drama was no real surprise. They missed the opportunity of awarding Making the Most Popular Choice, which would have been the best drama, Maverick, Top Gun, for Tom Cruise and company. But they didn't choose that film. They chose The Fabelmans, with provoking a fairly memorable acceptance speech from Steven Spielberg. But what is really incredible is that they made a surprise choice for best comedy. That the question of the comedy nature, well, we will get to all of that. We will also get to another item, and it's not comedy. There is a bill pending in the Oregon legislature to chop off a bunch of counties from the state of Oregon and shift them over to the state of Idaho. What's the idea? Why is this gaining some momentum and support, this concept of changing our map? We will get to that coming right up on the Medved Show.
The Michael Medved Show.
Now's the time to join the millions of Americans who have changed the quality of their sleep with MyPillow. MyPillow is now offering a BOGO extravaganza on multiple MyPillow products. Right now, get buy one, get one free pricing on MyPillow bed sheets, Giza Elegance MyPillows, six-piece towel sets, and roll and go anywhere MyPillows, and yes, so much more. Just go to the Radio Listener Specials page at MyPillow.com and use the promo code MEDVED. That's MyPillow.com, promo code MEDVED, or call 1-800-320-6280. That's 800-320-6280. Don't miss this incredible BOGO extravaganza at MyPillow.com. Buy one, get one free on select products. Remember, that's promo code MEDVED or 1-800-320-6280.
History repeats itself, and we're seeing that play out with inflation. When Jimmy Carter took office in the late 70s, gold sold for $140 an ounce. Can you imagine? By 1980, the price of gold topped out at $870 an ounce. Now, if today's market performs like it did when Carter was in office, the price of gold could skyrocket from $1,800 an ounce to $9,300 an ounce. This is Michael Medved for AmFed Coin and Bullion. Don't miss out on a great opportunity to purchase precious metals while the prices are still stable. If history repeats itself, we'll see a run on gold, silver, and platinum that will certainly drive up prices. Be smart. Buy now. At AmFed, you're dealing with specialists who provide you with personalized attention, honest information, and sound advice. You'll never be pressured into buying outrageously priced so-called collectible coins or anything that you don't need. 800-221-7694, 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com.
Extendivite really works. Here's just a few testimonials from Amazon. RL, 5 stars. Been taking this for 2 months now. I feel better. Have more energy. April, my husband started taking Extendivite, and he said he feels much better and has more energy. EW, need to try. Everyone needs this for their health. Great product, great people. Josie, it works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. JC, great product. Has worked well these last few years. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Michael Medved.
Here you go again.
And on the Michael Medved Show, there is a proposal that has been festering, has been actually growing for some years, and it's a proposal for what is called Greater Idaho. What is Greater Idaho? It is an effort to move some of the eastern counties in the state of Oregon into changing their allegiance so they no longer would be paying attention to the state capital in Salem. They would be moving over to the state immediately to their east, the state of Idaho. And this with the idea that those eastern counties are often slighted by the greater Portland area, which has dominated state politics for years and continues to do so. So what is the idea of moving? It's actually a majority, I believe, of the actual real estate in the state of Oregon over to the state of Idaho. And is there really a possibility this could happen? We're glad to welcome to the show Matt McCaw, who is the spokesperson for Greater Idaho. Matt is a lifelong Oregonian who's lived and worked on both sides of the state, and he's a small business owner and foster parent who lives with his wife and eight kids in Powell Butte, Oregon. Matt, thanks very much for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me.
Okay, first of all, if you're now an Oregonian, how do you describe someone from Idaho? Is it an Idahoan or...?
You do, yeah. It is an Idahoan. And as it turns out, most Idahoans are very similar to Eastern Oregonians. Culturally, politically, economically, Idaho and Eastern Oregon are very similar, even geographically. And that's part of the reason why it makes so much more sense for Eastern Oregonians to be getting their state-level government from Idaho, where you have a government that shares your culture values, than it does for Eastern Oregonians to be getting state government from Western Oregon, which is a completely different culture than what we have out here.
Right. I would take it in most of the cities in Eastern Oregon, homelessness and graffiti are not major problems.
Not big issues. No, exactly. You know, and so you had asked earlier, how much real estate is it? So this gives you an idea, or your listeners an idea, of the difference between Eastern Oregon and Western Oregon. We're talking about moving 15 counties, changing state governance from Oregon to Idaho. So those 15 counties make up 63% of the landmass of Oregon. But at the same time that it's 63% of the landmass, it's only 9% of the population. So we're talking 400,000 people. But that's just an example of how different. The west side of Oregon is very urban and very populated. The east side is vast, very rural. We have counties with only a few thousand people in them. The policies that work for Western Oregon don't make sense for Eastern Oregon.
So in terms of Eastern Oregon, a number of the counties have voted in favor of this transition, right?
Yes, yes. So for the last 2 years, we have been going county by county asking voters if this is an idea that they want their elected leaders to pursue. Because, you know, this was our movement started a couple of years ago, and it was a group of people that were saying, we've had this long-standing urban-rural divide in the state of Oregon, and it's been a big problem where the east side feels like they're not heard, people don't understand our way of life, completely different value set. How can we fix this problem? And folks said, well, what if we just change state-level governance, move the border from where it currently is westward so that Eastern Oregon can get their governance from Idaho instead of Oregon? We thought it was a great idea. But we had to know, do the people actually want this? So we've been going county by county in Eastern Oregon, and so far out of the 15 counties that we're proposing to move, change governance for, 11 of those counties have voted yes on our ballot measures. They do want their elected leaders to look into making this border change happen.
So you have four counties left to go, is that right?
We do, although, you know, so the process for moving a state border, so for your listeners to understand, a state border, there's nothing sacred about a state border. It's an imaginary line that was drawn at some point to separate these two land areas and separate these communities. They can change, and when they no longer make sense, they should change. And it's legal. There's a process for changing borders. And in fact, states change borders all the time. Oregon and Washington slightly modified their border, changed their border in 1958 to firm up exactly where it was in the Columbia River. But there is a legal process for it. And so what that entails, it's through something called an interstate compact. And all it requires is the two state legislatures of those two states to come together and decide where it makes sense to put the border. So
and how do people in the existing Idaho, not the greater Idaho, but the current Idaho, how do they feel about welcoming this very extensive tract of land into their state?
Well, two things about that. So first of all, there's been polling done in Idaho. There was polling done in November of 2021 in Idaho, and people were very much in favor. They understand, you know, people in Idaho understand how people in Eastern Oregon are very similar, and they also understand how different they are and Eastern Oregonians are from Western Oregon. So the people of Idaho, they understand us. They share our culture and our values. They see the value of adding 400,000 like-minded voters, as well as all the resources that come with our land. So the people of Idaho, when polled, we poll very favorably. But you also mentioned it's a very expensive piece of land. So that's kind of a misnomer. People have a tendency to think that if you were to change a border and land would go from being governed by Oregon to Idaho, that Idaho would somehow have to pay for that land. But that's not necessarily true. The state of Oregon owns almost no land in Eastern Oregon. Eastern Oregon is almost entirely federally owned land and private land. The people of Eastern Oregon own their land. So we're only talking about changing governance. Idaho wouldn't have to purchase this land. There would be assets that would go with the border change, because people in Eastern Oregon have been paying for those assets through their taxes. That would all be negotiated between the two legislatures. They would sit down and say, okay, we're looking at moving 9% of your population into our governance. A good starting point would be 9% of the assets go with us, 9% of the debt. But that would be something that the legislatures would have to hash out.
Okay, do the feds have anything to say about this?
They would. So the way the interstate compacts work is that two states agree we're going to move our border to here, and we're both okay with that, and we've written up this contract, and this is what's going to get grandfathered in, and here's what's going to exchange. Well, once they do that and the two state legislatures approve, it goes back to the federal government, U.S. Congress. If they approve and they say, yes, Idaho and Oregon, if you think it makes sense to move your border here, we're okay with that, and you'd have a border change just like that.
Okay, can you hold on for a moment? Because
sure.
Basically, what this would do would be create, well, it wouldn't create any, just it would be a different congressional district. I was thinking for a moment, you're talking about a new state, which means creating two new senators who would almost surely be Republicans. Because, again, one of the bottom lines here is Eastern Oregon is very Republican. Western Oregon is very Democratic. So could this change be made? Likes go with likes. We will talk about it further on the MedVed Show.
If you're like most Americans, you can see things are out of control. Global problems have local consequences, too many of them. And if the next news headline spins us into chaos, you better be ready. Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Today's the day to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. As we all know, calories equals energy equals survival. And as you'd expect from a true preparedness company, our food kits are in stock and ship quickly. Those who know what's coming are preparing today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
USA News Update. An FAA computer malfunction led to the complete grounding of all flights in the United States overnight and travel headaches for many passengers.
I'm just praying that my flight is still good to go, because we've been planning this trip for 2 months, 3 months, so, and we have Airbnbs booked, rental cars booked, you know.
While the FAA says normal air traffic operations have resumed, the damage already done, flight tracker reporting 8,000 flight delays.
The cleanup underway in parts of Southern California after torrential rains doused the state, but the northern half still facing more storms today. At least 17 people have died in those storms. Republican leaders in New York calling on newly elected Congressman George Santos to resign. The head of the Nassau County GOP says Santos has disgraced the House of Representatives by lying about his background. John Schaefer, USA News.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Hey, Jimmy, turn off the video games. Let's go play some ball.
I'm in the middle of my game. Can't we go later?
Come on, it'll be fun. It will be there when you get back.
Okay, but there's no way you're gonna win.
Why don't you grab some water and granola bars, and then we'll see about that.
You can make a difference. Eat smart, play hard. And when you do, your kids will too. A challenge from USDA.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com. And an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
And on the Michael Medved Show, a few minutes more with Matt McCaw, who is the spokesperson for Greater Idaho. What's the idea of Greater Idaho? It's taking some 15 counties in the eastern part of Oregon, representing 60%, slightly more than 60% of the land area of Oregon, and saying, okay, we are now going to be not a new state. You've heard of some of the efforts like the state of Jefferson or the state of Cascadia to create new states. No, this wouldn't be that. It would be much easier. It would be getting the agreement of the people of Idaho, getting the agreement of the federal government, and moving the state border to take those people, 900,000 of them in eastern Oregon, and making them people who would now be part of western Idaho. And that'd be pretty major enhancement of Idaho's size and influence and even population. Wouldn't it, Matt McCaw? What would happen to the state of Idaho if this actually went through?
Well, so what would happen to the state of Idaho is that they would instantly get 400,000 more like-minded people, culturally similar people, and a whole lot more landmass to go with them. So the eastern Oregon is represented. You know, one of the things you were talking about is we're not creating a new state. Moving a border is a much simpler process because you don't have to create new senators. It's all you're doing is just changing a border, and that's been done, as I mentioned, multiple times throughout the history of the United States. Now, we're proposing something that hasn't been done in a very long time, to move a border that moves that many people and moves a border that far. But all you're doing is changing governance. The benefits to Idaho is that, as I said, you've got 400,000 more people, you've got one more congressional representative. The impact to the national political scene would be minimal. Out of all of the, you know, electoral college votes, you'd be talking about one representative that would switch from representing Oregon to representing Idaho. That is that because Eastern Oregon is already very conservative, the representative that represents us in the U.S. House is a Republican. So there would not be a lot of changes in that regard. But what it would do is it would give Idaho 400,000 more like-minded people. It would help group more similarly minded people so that Idaho can continue to be Idaho, and it would allow Western Oregon to input the policies that Western Oregonians want, that their culture wants, without interference from us.
Yeah, but that's scary. I mean, one of the things that's been interesting living in the state of Washington, as we have for 26 years, one of the things that we've always looked toward Oregon with encouragement is it's kind of been a swing state. President Bush came very close to carrying the state of Oregon. And yes, it's Democratic, but for a while it looked like the Republican for governor, who was a very strong candidate, was actually going to win in Oregon. Wouldn't this make it basically a foregone conclusion that that what was left of Oregon, the Western Oregon, would be kind of like the District of Columbia, I mean, 90% Democratic, something like that?
Well, yes. So what you already have in Oregon is that the northwest part of Oregon is very, very left-leaning, and it's not like a 51-49 sort of situation. They vote democratically. 65. The city of Portland will vote 80% for Democratic candidates.
Yeah, it's like Seattle.
Whereas the eastern part of Oregon votes 75% Republican. So all we would be doing, we believe that it's best to get government matched to people's values. Give people the government that they actually want that matches their values. And in Western Oregon, people in Western Oregon want very left-leaning government, and that's the government they should get. But people in Eastern Oregon do not want that government. They want a right-leaning government, and they have not had that. People in Eastern Oregon have been voting for a government that they haven't gotten for almost four decades. Oregon has
Comparing,
come close to going, red at times. But we've had a Democratic governor for almost 40 years. The House and Senate in Oregon were a supermajority until this last election. It's still very lopsided. People in Eastern Oregon have no political power and haven't had political power for a very long time. And that doesn't need to be. We could easily have the kind of government we want if we just move the border.
Okay, one of the questions that smart question raised by Jeremy Steiner, Pride of Hillsdale College, producer for the show for many, many years, is what about this movement being joined by some of the counties in eastern Washington, which are also very conservative? Would they want to get aboard on something like this?
Sure. So Washington has the same issue as Oregon, where the west side of the Cascades is more urban, very left-leaning. It's dominated by one huge, population center in Seattle and King County. Eastern Washington is very rural. It's very similar to Oregon and very similar to Idaho. Our initial proposal, we thought, man, it would make sense to group all these like-minded people, Eastern Washington, Eastern Oregon, Northern California, because Northern California is the same way.
And they've been trying to break away for years.
Right. Yeah. So do we see down the road, is that being a possibility? Absolutely. We think people should get the government that they want and that matches their values as much as possible. For now, we're focused on making this happen in Oregon, and we think once we make this happen in Oregon, it will open the floodgates to other counties saying, we can do that too, and why have we been, stuck as a political minority in our own state for decades when we could get governance that we actually want?
I'm sure you do know. What is the comparable state tax rate between Idaho and Oregon? In other words, right now, Oregon, I know, has one of the highest income tax rates in the country. And how about Idaho?
Yeah, so the tax burden, so Idaho is in the statistics we've seen, Idaho's the eighth lowest tax state in the nation, and Oregon is the 33rd. So that's certainly one of the things that people in Eastern Oregon are seeing is they see Idaho's tax rates, their regulatory system. They see almost everything about Idaho's government, and they prefer that to what they're getting out of Oregon. And if you go down almost every issue, people in Western Oregon see things different than people in Eastern Oregon. And people in Eastern Oregon see things like people in Idaho. And that's one of the reasons why our proposal is so popular. And people, once people realize that this is possible, they say, yes, that's the solution. That's the long-term solution to our issues, our urban-rural divide that we've had for a long time.
Okay, so are there any Democrats in either Idaho or in Eastern, or anywhere in the state of Oregon who have endorsed this plan?
So we don't have any Democrats who have endorsed our plan, but we have had conversations with Democrats, and there are Democratic leaders who are very understanding of where we're at and open to listening to the conversation. As far as that's the elected leader side of things. As far as the people, there was polling done in January of 2022 of Northwest Oregon. And when they asked the people in Northwest Oregon, which is the very left-leaning part of Oregon, about Greater Idaho, 68% of people responded that we should at least talk about what moving the border could look like. Your everyday person understands Western Oregon is very different than Eastern Oregon. It doesn't really make sense for us to be trying to share state government or having a tug of war over Eastern Oregon is going to dictate policy to you or you're going to dictate policy to us. It doesn't make sense. It would make far more sense to move the border. And then Western Oregon, which is very like-minded, could put the policies that they want in place that are specific to the problems they have, and Eastern Oregon could do the same.
I greatly appreciate your joining us. Matt McCaw is the spokesperson for Greater Idaho. And, again, this is a fascinating proposal that doesn't seem to, at least as far as I can figure out right now, damage anyone's interests. We're talking about the Greater Idaho Movement. We'll keep in touch and follow up right here on the Michael Medved Show.
Michael Medved.
You will give the people of Earth an ideal to strive towards.
It's the Michael Medved Show.
Okay, it's winter time, and that shouldn't stop you from going outdoors and enjoying yourself and getting some exercise. Relief Factor can help with that cause. Relief Factor is natural. It consists of fish oil and turmeric primarily and other ingredients that have been tested and shown to be remarkably effective. A Relief Factor can make you feel better and give you an opportunity to enjoy all kinds of aspects of an active life that you may have been prevented from enjoying in the past. Go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner. There's a special price available for what is called a quick start with Relief Factor. You take these tablets, which are entirely natural, no chemicals, no preservatives of any kind. This is a wonderful product that we heartily endorse. Go to michaelmedved.com, look for the banner for Relief Factor. Some of America's most important principles, like freedom of conscience, speech, rule of law, sanctity and dignity of human life, the family, and economic freedom, are under contemporary assault. It's more important than ever to teach our nation's traditional values and timeless principles. Now, these sometimes forgotten values must be remembered and communicated, and the Institute for Faith and Freedom at Grove City College exists to accomplish just that. The Institute promotes these principles to the next generation of leaders on campus and across the country. Go to the website faithandfreedom.com, and you'll find online courses on Ronald Reagan and James Madison, and above all, a vigorous defense of Western civilization and its highest values. Advocating for these timeless principles is why Grove City College continues to be a beacon in higher education. Go to faithandfreedom.com.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.
Medved Show, everybody knows about inflation and the rising cost of groceries of every kind. And you feel it every time you go to the store. Things have gone up and it's very visible. So one of the questions, has everything gone up? No. What products went down particularly? Well, one of them was smartphones. And one of them was televisions. As people stayed home and bought stuff, the country imported and manufactured lots and lots of TV sets to meet demand. But now those cravings for new TVs have cooled, they say. So retailers are cutting prices to clear their shelves and get rid of extra inventory. Televisions are down in the last 2 years, apparently 17%. Now, that's something you would feel in terms of purchase costs. And then smartphones. The commentary, this may seem counterintuitive since the cost of producing iPhones and other smartphones is not going down. But falling prices reflect an industry-wide trend that predated the pandemic, in part because of promotions and quality adjustments as devices improve every year. This downward price pressure has persisted despite the global chip shortage. Smartphones are down 23.4% in terms of price. Something else where the price hasn't plummeted, despite the fact that the demand does not seem to be up there as much, is the movie industry. And yesterday was the return of the Golden Globe Awards. And the Golden Globe Awards always have made me yawn, and there's always been very peculiar choices. This time, more peculiar than ever before. And we'll get to the surprise winner for Best Musical or Comedy, which is just incredible. But there was also an appearance by a world celebrity who addressed the Golden Globes, despite his thick Ukrainian accent. Clip 7.
It is now 2023. The war in Ukraine is not over yet, but the tide is turning, and it is already clear who will win. There were still battles and tears ahead. But now I can definitely tell you who were the best in the previous year. It was you, the free people of the free world, those who united around the support of the free Ukrainian people. in our common struggle for freedom, democracy, for the right to live, to love, to give birth, no matter who you are, no matter where you are from, no matter who you are with.
Okay, that was, of course, President Volodymyr Zelensky of Ukraine, the real guy. And he was kind of the highlight of the award ceremony. He went on to use an analogy that the Hollywood folks gathered at the Golden Globes would understand. This is clip 8.
The First World War claimed millions of lives. The Second World War claimed tens of millions of them. There will be no Third World War. It is not a trilogy. Ukraine will stop the Russian aggression on our land. We will make it together with a whole free world. And I hope that all of you will be with us on the victorious day, the day of our victory. Slava Ukraini.
Slava Ukraine. Glory to Ukraine. I think they've turned him down for speaking at the Oscars, which is too bad. Because one of those areas where I do think people of goodwill can unite is in opposition to Russian aggression. It's not even pro-Ukraine, it's anti-Russia, because there's a profound evil involved in the leadership of what used to be the Soviet Union. There was a clip of Steven Spielberg, who won Best Director for a drama. His film, The Fablemans, which I actually put at the top of my Best of the Year list. I think it's a wonderful film. It won Best Picture. He won Best Director, and he said this to the assembled Golden Globers. Clip 4.
I think everything I've done up to this point has made me ready to finally be honest about the fact that it's not easy to be a kid, the fact that everybody sees me as a success story, and everybody sees all of us the way they perceive us based on how they get the information. But nobody really knows who we are until we're courageous enough to tell everyone who we are. And I spent a lot of time trying to figure out when I could tell that story, and I figured out when I turned about 74 years old, I said, you better do it now.
And he did. Now, the winner for Best Comedy or Musical was The Banshees of Inisherin, with Brendan Gleeson and Colin Farrell. Colin Farrell also won Best Actor for this. It's an interesting film. I am not a fan of the film. But what's bizarre is it won for Best Comedy. This is on the Medved Show. These are some highlights from The Banshees of Inisherin with a laugh track inserted to show you how utterly ridiculous it is for this fairly disturbing, dark, and unfunny in every capacity film to be ranked as a comedy. Listen.
I just have this tremendous sense of time slipping away in me, Patrick. And I think I need to spend the time I've left thinking and composing and just try not to listen to the, any more of the dull things that you have to say for yourself, but I'm sorry about it.
I think you might be ill, Colin.
Do worry sometimes, just entertaining myself while I stave off the inevitable. I just don't have a place for dullness in my life anymore.
You can't just all of a sudden stop being friends with a fella.
Why can't I?
Why can't you? Because it isn't nice.
Do you think God gives a damn about miniature donkeys, Colin?
I fear he doesn't. And I fear that's where it's all gone wrong.
Do you ever get lonely, Patrick?
Do I get what?
Lonely.
Do I never get lonely? What's the matter with everybody?
the film, by the way, centers on mutilation and threats of cutting off fingers if a friendship continues. It's just hilarious. Actually, inspiring and, in my opinion, one of the best films of the year. It's a film that deserves more attention. It's just right now getting a wider release. Listen.
Now it's time for MedVed's Entertainment Minute.
Jonathan Majors is outstanding as a groundbreaking black naval aviator at the beginning of the Korean War in the inspiring, lovingly told true story, Devotion, now playing in theaters.
The whole world's looking different.
Did you ever think that you'd be in a squadron with a colored aviator?
Lieutenant Tom Hudner.
Jesse Brown. It's good to meet you.
It must be hard being the
naval aviator.
And people who loved Top Gun Maverick, one of the biggest hits of recent months, should also be thrilled by Devotion, which provides scenes of aerial combat that are as thrilling and convincing as the surprisingly deep human interactions that convey the heart of the film. Glenn Powell, who co-stars as the main character's wingman, is so charismatic and convincing he can make you forget all about Tom Cruise. Rated PG-13 for realistic scenes of wartime heroism and sacrifice, Force stars for the unforgettable and ultimately uplifting Devotion. And, yes, it is a four-star film, and I can heartily recommend it. It's one worth looking for. What about the idea of a fair tax, replacing the income tax, the tax on income, with a tax on what you spend, basically a national sales tax? Republicans want to vote on that fair tax idea. Is it worth supporting? We will talk about it tomorrow on the MedVed Show. Also, why have pot possession cases plummeted so gigantically in federal courts when it remains a crime in many places to use marijuana? We'll talk about that and about a new book about America not carrying its weight in terms of its influence in the world in the years leading to World War II. And why was that such a disaster for this greatest nation on God's green earth?
Hi, Fred Dwyer here. If you suffer from a serious chronic illness, heartburn, poor sleep, fatigue, brain fog, you need Balance 7. Balance 7 water improves the acid-alkaline balance in the body. The right pH helps unlock the immune system. It also allows for better hydration and nourishment during times of medication and stress. Balance 7 works. I know. I use it every day. Now you can try it free. Balance 7 is offering chronic illness sufferers a free gallon of Balance 7 water for the first 100 callers. That's an $87 value free. So call 800-793-9039 and mention my name, Fred. The first 100 callers suffering with a chronic illness get a free gallon of Balance 7 water. So call 800-793-9039, code word Fred, or visit balance7.com. That's balance, the number 7.com. 800-793-9039, code word Fred.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.